What's so special about the Baggins family? Is there even anything special about them? Let's take a look. Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we cover The Lord of the Rings in nerdy detail, as well as other great fantasy worlds like A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher. Welcome. Bilbo and Frodo Baggins really are remarkable. Both possess the One Ring for years, decades even in Bilbo's case, and a few stumbles aside, including obviously Frodo at the last, they resist its power. Others, like Boromir, fall under its spell without even touching it, and Sméagol, lest we forget, was willing to murder his own cousin within seconds of first seeing it, and Sméagol was once a Stoor, one of the types of hobbit. So it's not just that hobbits are resistant to the ring's power, there's definitely something different about the Bagginses. This is curious, because Tolkien goes out of his way in the first few pages of The Hobbit to describe quite how ordinary the Bagginses were. He writes, "The Bagginses had lived in the neighbourhood of the hill for time out of mind, and people considered them very respectable, not only because most of them were rich, but also because they never had any adventures or did anything unexpected. They were like other hobbits, richer and more upper class than most, but normal and unadventurous. So what changed? Well, both The Hobbit and Gandalf's recollections in the Quest of Erebor section of the Book of Unfinished Tales name-check Bilbo's mother, Belladonna Took, as an important part of what made Bilbo different. In The Hobbit, we're told that Bilbo's mother was the famous Belladonna Took, one of the three remarkable daughters of the Old Took, head of the hobbits who lived across the water, the small river that ran at the foot of the hill. It was often said, in other families, that long ago one of the Took ancestors must have taken a fairy wife. That was, of course, absurd, but certainly there was still something not entirely hobbit-like about them. And once in a while, members of the Took clan would go and have adventures. We're not told exactly what made Belladonna famous or remarkable, but it's clear that she was an impressive woman and, as a Took, adventurous. I did an entire video about why Gandalf chose Bilbo, but one of the reasons he gives in the Book of Unfinished Tales is this. "I said to myself," says Gandalf, "I want a dash of the Took, but not too much, Master Peregrine, and I want a good foundation of the stolider sort, a Baggins, perhaps." That pointed at once to Bilbo. So Bilbo had all the normal attributes of being a hobbit and the stolidness, the calm dependability of the Bagginses, while also having a good bit of Tookish adventure to him, and not just any Took, but the famous, remarkable Belladonna Took. Pippin, of course, is a Took, and we see it throughout The Lord of the Rings, him being the most impetuous and daring of the hobbits. Dropping a stone down a well in Moria earned him the "fool of a Took" retort from Gandalf. It was said with anger, but also with kindliness. Gandalf loved the hobbits, and he loved the Took's sense of adventure and inquisitiveness, even if it brought terrible consequences. Returning to the Bagginses, Bilbo's father, incidentally, Bungo Baggins, also seems to have been pretty remarkable in a quieter way. It was he who excavated the luxurious Bag End, was a bit of a wine connoisseur, and had a way with words, with several of his sayings becoming well-known phrases. So Bilbo certainly seems to come from a strong heritage. But Bilbo's parentage, while noteworthy, does not explain Frodo, or indeed, from another angle, the Sackville Bagginses, who appear special in a very different and not altogether positive way. And let's deal with them first, because although they are very much minor villains in the story, the Sackville Bagginses are also pretty remarkable. I'll probably do a whole video on this sometime, but Lotho Sackville Baggins, Bilbo's first cousin once removed, if I've got that right, his father's brother's grandson, hobbits love their family trees, launched a coup and established an authoritarian regime on the whole Shire that lasted a whole year after Frodo and co. left, instituting martial law and overturning the whole way of life. He knocked down the mill and shut down all the inns, demanding to be called the chief, and violently suppressing any opposition. Horrible, but not ordinary or boring. Clearly there is something about the Bagginses. Frodo, thankfully, comes from a completely different part of the Baggins family tree than the Sackville Bagginses. Actually, let's look at that for a moment. Embracing the Hobbit's love of family trees, Bilbo here is an only child of Bungo and Belladonna. So if you were to go by usual inheritance conventions, then Otho Sackville-Baggins, Bilbo's first cousin, would inherit when he disappeared, which is why the Sackville-Bagginses felt entitled to try to get their hands on Bag End, or Bilbo's silver spoons at any rate. Instead, Bilbo wrote Frodo, who was his second cousin once removed, again, if I've got that right, Bilbo's grandfather's brother's great-grandson, into his will as his heir. Merry and Pippin, for the record, are also Bilbo's cousins, though a bit more distant. The Shire is a small place, and the aristocratic families, the Tooks, Brandybucks, Bagginses and so on, intermarry a lot. But to return to Frodo, yes, he's a Baggins, but he doesn't have any Tookish blood in him, at least in the most recent generations. Instead, he has Brandybuck, Bolger, Hornblower and Boffin genes, all good solid Hobbit families. Merry is obviously a Brandybuck, Fredegar, that underreported hero, a Bolger. The Hornblowers introduced pipeweed to the Shire. Folko Bolger helped Frodo pack for his journey. Good solid Hobbits. So what is it about Frodo that is so special? Well, we are left to assume that it's the Baggins gene, that most respectable and stolid, in Gandalf's words, of families, quietly and unobtrusively brilliant. Supplemented by other quiet and unobtrusive wonderful Hobbit families, and when you think about it, that makes sense. The One Ring seems to have its greatest hold on people when they are powerful themselves or seek power. Gandalf is wary of the ring because he knows that with his power he would be mighty indeed, and no doubt seek to do good, but in fact be terrible. Boromir was the same, seeking power for ostensibly good reasons, but would inevitably be corrupted. At the other end of the scale, Tom Bombadil had absolutely zero interest in power, so when he had the ring, it had absolutely zero impact on him. Sméagol seems to have had a treacherous and malign heart even before he got the ring. Tolkien confirmed that this is true, in case you're wondering. But he also had an extremely limited lust for power. In possession of the most powerful magical ring in Middle-earth for half a millennium, he wished to be lord of a small island in a lake deep under the Misty Mountains, with plenty of fish and maybe a goblin or two for supper. Not exactly earth-shattering. The Baggins's nature as unadventurous, respectable, and with no aspirations beyond a nice hobbit hole and plenty of good food for second breakfast, luncheon and tea made them perfect for resisting the One Ring's temptations. The Bagginses we know have other things added in. Bilbo has the adventurousness of the Tooks. The Sackville Bagginses, whatever bad genes or upbringing the Sackville family seem to possess. Frodo, a mix of the best and most hobbit of hobbit families. But ultimately, Bilbo and Frodo retained that stolidness of the Bagginses. Sauron never understood humility and the simple enjoyment of the good things in life. It's one of the key themes of the books. And I do wonder if there is still one more layer here. Let's take a look at letter 213. And if you've never delved into Tolkien's letters, they really are a treasure trove of information about his world and life. In that letter, responding to a request for information about who he is, he says this: "I am, in fact, a hobbit, in all but size. I like gardens, trees, and unmechanized farmlands. I smoke a pipe and like good plain food, unrefrigerated, but detest French cooking. I like and even dare to wear in these dull days ornamental waistcoats. I am fond of mushrooms out of a field, have a very simple sense of humour, which even my appreciative critics find tiresome. I go to bed late and I get up late when possible. I do not travel much." Put simply, the Hobbits are not just a creative masterstroke by J.R.R. Tolkien. They are him. They are his idealised view of what the good life should be like, based on his childhood in and around Sarehole Mill in central England. Though even Tolkien would probably have admitted that he enjoyed an adventure every now and then, marvelling at the Alps in his younger days or northern Italy later with his wife. This is Bilbo in The Hobbit, a Baggins, so he enjoys the good simple life of the Shire, but with just a dash of Took, ready for an adventure when it presents itself, even if he doesn't know it. Incidentally, Frodo may be Bilbo's heir, but Sam takes on this role in The Lord of the Rings, the genuine hobbit, as Tolkien calls him. What makes the Bagginses special? They are the epitome of hobbits. And for Tolkien, the hobbits are conceptually all that is right and good and uplifting in this world. Simple, but caring about the important things in life. And if the occasion demands it, willing to go forth beyond their fields and hobbit holes on an adventure, or to save the world they love. What makes the Bagginses so special? Because if Tolkien were a hobbit, he would be a Baggins. If you'd like to see more Lord of the Rings videos, please click on the link to my playlist on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.